If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to be reading a verse there in just a little bit, but I want you to have it out and ready in front of you there. So get your phone, your Bible, whatever you're using, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll get there in just a minute. You know, at the beginning of the year, and as I wrote that this week, I just thought, whoa, that seems like forever ago already, the beginning of the year. Do you remember what it was like? Anyway, at the beginning of the year, we talked about our vision for Lakeview Chapel, our vision for 2020. That we are building a community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight. We spent weeks exploring God's Word early in the year about what faith is, so that we would be able to understand the kind of community that we want to be building here at Lakeview Chapel. We spent a few weeks talking about what it looks like to live well by looking at some of the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance and focusing in on them, saying these are things that we consider living well because they're things that God is interested in, has instructed us to do, because they reflect who He is. And that's the definition of living well, living like He is. We've considered the fourfold gospel, that Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our Coming King, because this is the God in whom we have our faith. We're building a community of faith in God, not faith in faith. It's a faith in God. And so we wanted to look at who He was. And right around that point in time, studying the fourfold gospel, we became separated by the coronavirus. And it changed things for us. Because since that day, there was Palm Sunday and Easter and Mother's Day, some of the highlights, as well as looking what it means to live in anticipation of Jesus' return. They were all designed to help us focus on living well by faith, not by sight. And it occurs to me when we use that phrase that we live by faith and not by sight. It's just very interesting because over these past couple months, we've not been able to see one another. I'm going to let that sink in for a moment and run that through my head some more this weekend. Because it's just an interesting thought. That's how we live our lives, by faith, not by sight. So I'd like us to continue that thought and highlight the role that generosity plays in living well by faith, not by sight. It will help you and I to become that community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight. There are a couple of scriptures that we're going to look at to help us to understand what generosity looks like and how it's part of God's desire for every Jesus follower. And the first one is there in 1 Chronicles that I mentioned to you earlier. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And there in that chapter, David had just received an offering from the people of Israel to fund the building of the temple. David was not allowed to build the temple himself, although he wanted to desperately. God said, no, that's for your son Solomon to do. But David said, well, I can gather everything that we need to do it. And so he went about gathering the materials and the funds to build the temple of the Lord. And in chapter 29, they had received a big offering. And it was huge, overwhelmingly so. They list some of the things that came in and how much gold and silver and materials and all the rest. Take a look at that because it's pretty amazing. The people had been amazingly generous. And while David recognized and honored them for it, he also points out something very important that you and I need to understand as well. And he begins to talk about generosity. In verse 12, there in 1 Chronicles 29, David said that God is the source of all wealth. Think about that for a moment. God is the source of all wealth. Everything I have, everything you have, came from God. And so when David was thinking about that, he began then thanking and praising God for the huge offering the people had brought in. He was grateful to the people, but he also recognized, and more so, God was behind it all. And he then says in verse 14, and I'd like you to read this for yourself. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your own hand. While David and the people had been the ones giving in large amounts, he saw the truth that every one of them was able to give only because God had given them everything that they had. It's the same thought that's behind our third core value that says, everything we have belongs to God. We are only stewards. David was expressing gratitude for the ability to give generously, because generous giving is a worthy cause and it feels great. You know, I get to work with the deacons here at the church on occasion to handle the benevolent fund. And giving aid to someone who's in need, it feels wonderful. I got to tell you, if you've not done it, you need to try it, because it's great. You, the people of Lakeview Chapel, have blessed us, the deacons, by giving to us that fund, the benevolent fund, to use to help people in need. They benefit from it. We benefit from being able to do that. But more than a good feeling, David recognized that generosity to God's work is really just returning to Him what He has first given to us. For everything comes from You, God, and we have given You only what comes from Your own hand. As you think along those lines, it adds a fresh perspective for us on generosity, doesn't it? If everything I have truly came to me as a gift from God, then using what I have the way He wants me to is really very reasonable. Add to that the thought that as we are generous with what we've been given, God is generous to provide even more. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'd like you to read this passage as well, verses 17 through 19 in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul told Timothy to instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. We need to see it this way, to place our hope in God. Place your hope in God. Seek after Him, not worldly riches. Don't make that your goal in life, to accumulate stuff. Because you'll find that when you seek God, when He becomes your priority in life, then He richly provides you with all things for your enjoyment. Once you recognize that, doing good, being generous, and willing to share takes on a completely different meaning in our lives. I can be generous without fear of self-deprivation, knowing that I'm pleasing God and that He is going to take care of me. And you see, that's not just Paul's opinion of the issue either. Multiple times in Scripture, we're told that God will honor a generous person. From Solomon's Proverbs, Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. Proverbs 22:9, a generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Paul, as we already saw, taught it not just to Timothy. Solomon, the wisest man ever, said it was as well. But best of all is that Jesus himself spoke the same way about generosity. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus is speaking here, and I'd like you to read his words. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Generosity is its own reward. Understand that we don't give in order to receive. We give because we have received from God all that we need. Our Father has cared for us. And just as He has always provided for us, we trust Him to continue to do so. I was thinking about it this week, and the thought came to my mind that a tree grows from the roots up. It can only grow to the degree that the roots receive water and nutrients from the soil. In the same way, you and I are to grow in generosity because we have been generously given to. We have been generously supplied. We're able to give to others to the same degree that God has given to us. And I want you to think about this morning. God has given you a lot. A lot. If all He had ever done was given to you a Savior, Jesus, that is beyond the pale. That's more than we can even imagine. That forgiveness of sin that Jesus' sacrifice provided for you. Sin that you could never repay. He took it and paid the price. His unending love. In spite of who we are and what we've done. In spite of the fact that we are His enemy, we were His enemies when He died for us. His unending love motivated Him, and He offers that to us daily. His amazing grace is more than a song we sang for years and years. It is sweet, isn't it? The sound of amazing grace. It is sweeter still to experience it in our lives. The lives that God has given to us. Real life. Both now and forever in Christ. That God has given to us His Son is huge. But wait, there's more. God has given you the power to choose. I've talked about this many times. He has given to you autonomy, the power to choose, a purpose in this life that goes beyond just living, breathing, doing things for yourself. There's a greater purpose in this life for us as we follow Jesus. He's given to us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, a constant companion to guide us in the right paths and to provide us with everything we need to live this life well, by faith, not by sight. But there's even more, because God has given you hope. Hope in a world that so often seems hopeless. He gives to you comfort when you mourn the pains and the hurts of this life. In Christ, we have been given peace. Peace in a stressful world. He doesn't take us out of the world, but He gives us peace in the midst of it. And He has also given to you prayer. Direct access to the God of the universe. We grow in generosity when we recognize that we have been generously supplied. So I pray that that helps you understand what God means when He speaks about generosity. Generosity is giving freely to others from all that God has already given to you. Is also clear in His Word that generosity is part of God's desire for every single Jesus follower. It's not just for the deacons to do. Generosity is to be a trait that is developed and growing in each of us. So what does generosity look like in your life? Self-evaluation time. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Generosity is that freely passing on of all those things that God has already given to you to someone else who needs them right now. Freely you've received, freely give. So is there a neighbor who's in need of something you have? Maybe it's food, maybe it's clothing, I don't know. But it's something you have and they need. As you're aware of it, do you give? How about someone who just needs a sympathetic ear? How many times have you cried out to God in your distress, not even knowing what to ask for, but just saying, "Lord, I don't know what's going on. This is happening. It breaks my heart." Knowing that He listens to every cry from your heart. He has given that to you. Can you give a sympathetic ear to someone who's suffering today? Can you give grace and kindness to someone else as God has given it to you? Even if it's someone that isn't real easy to get along with, don't shout out any names, okay? You know who I mean. Can you show grace to them when they're being difficult? Can you be kind to them even when they're a bit prickly? Do you know anyone who needs to hear about Jesus and see Him through your actions? Read what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. We give because it's who God is. We give because God gives. And the beautiful thing about this is that you and I, I don't have to judge who deserves to receive, who deserves to be the recipient of my generosity. Because I'm reminded how God gives. And God gave to me when I didn't deserve a thing. As a matter of fact, He gave life to me when I deserved death. Because the wages of my sin was death. His gift was eternal life through Jesus. Everything we have belongs to God. We're only stewards. And as stewards of a generous God, we also need to be generous. What if you and I, as Jesus followers, lived generously in a world where everything seems to be grab whatever you can? Don't worry about anyone. Worry about yourself first. What if we, as Jesus followers, lived generously in that environment? What would people think if they saw your life of peace and tranquility when everything around you is going crazy? What would people think if they saw you working hard, just like they are, but at the same time, you're trusting God to care for your needs, so you can be generous with what you have? What would people think if they saw you giving generously in every way, without fear of running out? Because you know, in Jesus, you have a limitless supply. I said earlier, one of the great gifts God has given to us is the ability to choose. And you get to choose to be generous or not. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. Look, each person should do as he's decided in his own heart to do, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I don't want you to go from here and say, well, I have to do this because Pastor Dave said I had to do this. No, that's not it at all. Generosity comes from a heart that recognizes God has given me everything I have. And if He wants me to be generous like He is generous, that's what I choose to do. You choose. Just remember that everything you have has come from God, a generous God who lavishes His grace, His love, His blessings in your life. He is a generous and cheerful giver. So let's be more like Him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for the privilege You give to us to spend time in Your Word as family in Christ. To be reminded of who You are and how that changes who we are. Thank You, Lord. Oh my. Thank You, Lord, for everything that You have given to us. We are blessed far beyond what we deserve. You are so, so generous. As Your stewards, Lord, would You allow that realization of Your generosity to grow gratitude in our lives that will in return make us generous like you. Show us the opportunities, Lord. Show us the opportunities you place before us every day to be generous with the gifts that you've given to us. In a world that has great, great need. And we will give you the praise for that, Lord. Because we ask these things not on our own account, nor because we deserve them, but because you have generously given us all things in Christ. And it's in His name we ask. Amen.